Howdy, hi there. My name is Senor Scott, and I am an Americano in Bangkok. You know, I've got so many idiots that write me through YouTube, and I gotta say, the people generally, and I'm not just trying to kiss up here, but the people generally who have signed up to my membership site, and who I communicate with, or the people in YouTube, or for whatever reason I end up meeting them, and whether they may sign up to my site or they may not sign up to my site. But generally, these people tend to be the smartest people. They tend to have their head on much straighter than some of the idiots who are, I moved to Thailand, man. Yeah, come on, man. What do I got to do? If I got $3,000. Can I last 6 months? Well, yeah, you might. But, you know, what kind of life are you going to have? And I talked about how I believe that Thailand is probably going into the shitter now. And I'm very careful not to say this publicly because I know I can probably get in trouble for it. But I really do believe that. I believe that in a few years, people are going to go, fuck Thailand, we ain't going to Thailand anymore. I'm sick and fucking tired of the place. I mean, you know, you got people being murdered all the time. Now it's in the news. And the thing is about the news is that if you see it in the news once in a while, that's one thing. But when you see almost every month, oh, this guy got killed. Oh, that guy got killed. Oh, so this guy supposedly jumped from the 51st floor. I don't know. It just seems like maybe things are not copacetic. And you know, I gotta say that when I say this, this is coming from somebody who I have a pretty relaxed life here. I don't have many problems. I really, most of the time, I have zero problems. And if I do have problems, it tends to be with guys in the tourist area who they think they can be a fucking smartass without anybody saying anything. And, you know, usually I know how far I can push some of these guys most of the time. I mean, rarely will they start anything for whatever reason, just because I know how much I can say and how much I can get away with. But, I mean, everywhere else, I mean, like around my house and around the areas that I go to photograph quite often, I almost never get any shit. And if I get any shit, I either just walk away or I just say, yeah, whatever, pal, you know, and I walk away or I just make a smart remark that they don't understand and then that's it. End of story. But I do think that perhaps Thailand is cracking down for a number of reasons. They're cracking down on the tourists because there are indeed many, many tourists who come who are drunk, who are abusive towards Thai people, and who don't understand the culture and who don't give a shit about the culture. They don't even want to understand it. I know there are, you know, listen, there are a lot of young people who come here. Oh, Thailand's so great, man. Hey, come on, man. You got to come here. I love this place. It's so cheap, man. You know, I can live here on $1,000 a month. Let me tell you something. $1,000 is $1,000 anywhere in the world. Remember that. It doesn't fucking matter if it's $1,000 in Thailand or $1,000 in China or $1,000 in Malaysia or $1,000 in Russia or America or wherever. It doesn't fucking matter because, you know, at the end of the day, it's still $1,000 and shit costs money. And you know what? In some places, stereo equipment is cheaper. In some places, automobiles are more expensive. Here in Thailand, fucking cars are double the price in some cases. The prices are quite a bit higher than you're going to find in the United States. You buy a fucking iPhone here, it's going to cost you $1,000, you know, and my wife will say to me, I want to get another phone, and I'm like, you don't need another phone. We don't have the money for you to spend $1,000 on a motherfucking iPhone, and you know what, I want an iPhone 6 only because it's something that I can, or a 6, what is it, 6S Plus or 6 Plus S, because I want the 4K video capability, and I want a better camera. But I've got an iPhone 4S, and it's acceptable. So for now, until I decide, hey, I'm flush, I got enough money where $1,000 or $800, whatever it's going to be, isn't going to hurt me, I'm not going to spend that money. So $1,000 is $1,000. If you want to live like a piece of shit all your life, then $1,000 is great. And what I mean by as a piece of shit, what I mean is if you have a chunk of money stashed, let's say you got $500,000 and you're 60 years old, you're probably going to be all right if you're living off $1,000 a month. Okay? But if you're some 22-year-old kid and you got $1,000 a month and you've got $15,000 to your name, or let's say you got $75,000 to your name, you're fucked. Because if that's all you're making, first of all, there's the cost of living to consider. Second of all, yes, you can find a place. I mean, listen, we got a place that's 7,000 baht a month, and I don't want to say it's really nice, because I don't think it is. It's old. There are some things that don't work in it now after us being here a couple of years. And I want out of here. But you know what? I love the fact that it's only 7,000 baht and it doesn't cost that much. And my wife and I love it, and we're able to put a little bit extra money away because of that. So for me, the way that I've started to think is, listen, I'm 53. I'll have a house, unless I die an untimely death, I'll have a house before I die. Very good. That's nice. Okay, I like that. And it'll probably be quite a few years before I die. It won't be all that much longer. But I would like to be able to leave my kids something. I would like to leave them some kind of a legacy, whether it be a photo archive that may or may not be worth anything, a house, land, some cash, a book or two that hopefully will continue to keep earning, which that's something I need to find out about. What happens if I die? Who keeps collecting the dough? Or does anybody? So, but you know, if you got $1,000 a month, that ain't shit, man. I mean, let's face it, $1,000 is fucking chump change to live off of. It's chump change. In Thailand, I used to have a place that was about $1,200 a month. All right, that was when at the beginning of my time here. I wasn't married. I just met my wife, and she's like, "Get out of here! You're spending way too much money." And now I did it. She dragged me kicking and screaming because I did not want to leave the place. But you know what? Man, it was a hell of a lot easier to meet my nut every month. And I think that now with the cost rising, there was a time when I first came here about 21 years ago where you could get a place for $3, $5 a night, and it was actually a decent place. And you can still find a place $5-$10 if you're lucky. But they're not all that nice. They're acceptable. But do you want to really? I mean, I personally don't want to live like I live in a slum for the rest of my life. And when you've got $1,000 a month and you don't have much money saved, you really, if you don't have much money saved and you're younger, instead of going, "I can't take it anymore, I'm going to leave, I just want to leave my country and things will be better in Thailand." Maybe, maybe not. But you know what? I'd rather have a hell of a lot of money than not have any or only have a little bit. So that's really something to consider, because I know there are people that are like, "Oh, I got $1,500 a month. Is that enough?" Yes, if you're single, it's enough. But if you're single and you just are steadfast, you are not going to get married, you're 62 years old, you don't want any more kids or whatever, you don't want to get married, just, you know, a little piece of ass once in a while will do you just fine, it's probably enough for now. If you are 24 years old and you're making 35,000 baht a month or something from some little side thing you got going on, and you don't have a visa, a proper visa, like you don't have a work permit, you don't have a B visa, you don't have an M visa, you don't have an O visa for marriage or for retirement, what are you going to do when the cost of living rises in 10 to 20 years and you have very little money saved? You're fucked, because now you're an old fucker, okay? And I've been very, very fortunate. And I mean, when I say fortunate, I mean it. Because I have stumbled across money occasionally. It's happened a couple of times where I just stumbled across money that I just couldn't believe how easy it was to make. But then there have been times where I have kicked and scratched and clawed my way to make more money and to be able to sock enough money away to be able to afford retirement. And I think a lot of people now that these, just by the people that write me, there are some guys who they got their shit completely together. And I'm like, dude, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. You know, if you're bringing in $8,000 a month, $10,000 a month from a pension and from investments, you don't have nothing to worry about unless the bottom falls out on your pension and your retirement, your investments. But if you are 24 or 22 or 30 even, and you're the kind of guy who works for other people, maybe you don't have a degree, but you think you got $20,000 and you think you got plenty of money, and you know, you'll just teach English all your life, I'm here to tell you that you better listen to me. Because if you're going to listen to anything, you don't have to listen to the common sense shit I tell you about women. You don't have to listen to anything like that. I don't give a fuck if you listen or not. It's up to you. But you better think long and hard about what you're doing. That's the bottom line. Because it really depends. You can say, oh, I don't really have that much. My needs are not that much. And well, you don't know that your needs are not that much. Later on, you have no idea. You could have a heart attack and you're completely fucked. I know a guy who had a heart attack here. He didn't have insurance. And it ended up costing him, what was it? Something like, how much was it that he had to pay? I thought it was a couple of million baht. Maybe, yeah, it had to be I think it was a couple of million baht. Something like 3 million baht or something. Which is actually pretty cheap considering he had a heart attack. And I actually went and saw the guy. I went into the hospital and I thought, you know, he's fine. He'll be okay, you know. And I go in and I go, hey, what's going on, man? And then I went, holy shit. He was on a respirator. He was completely knocked out. And he wasn't conscious. And it took him a while. I was like, holy shit, man. I didn't know it was this quite this serious, you know. And it took a while. But when he finally did get out, he told me, he said, you know, they wanted me to pay and I didn't have the money. I had to, initiate a transfer back home in Germany where he was from and have them transfer the money over. And the hospital didn't want to let him out. And they didn't. They didn't let him out. I said, give them their fucking passport and tell them to fuck off. And if you really want to leave, go get another passport and try to get out of the country. Go get another passport for your country and tell them to fuck off. You're not paying them. You know, if you don't got the money. He said, no, I got the money. I said, okay, well, then you better pay him. So he had to wait. He got the money. He paid him. But I think there's a lot of guys now, they're just desperate to leave their country. And, you know, like this kid the other day who wrote... wrote me, and he was talking, well, the one that wrote me, the Indian kid who wrote me and said, you know, I'm 21, I've got a degree in travel and tourism, and I met a girl 7 months ago, and I want to get married and move to Thailand and get a job. How do I get my non-immigrant B visa and work permit? Can I get it? Because I can't find a job. And I'm like, no, you can't. If you don't have a job, or you can't find a job from India, until you have a job, you're not going to get a non-immigrant B visa or a work permit. You could be in the country and find a job, but then you're going to have to go out of the country and do a visa run, basically. And then you come back and you'll get your work permit and you'll get everything squared away and you'll have a job. Or you could just get it when you're in India. In this guy's case, he could be in India. He could come over and he'll get the... he'll get his paperwork from he'll get his paperwork from the company. They'll set everything up. They'll actually either they it depends on where he is. If he's in India, they'll probably send it to the embassy. The embassy has all his paperwork. He gets approved. He comes over. He's got to extend his visa, and then he gets his work permit. Then he starts working for the company. But you know, I've already went over this kind of shit so many times on YouTube, and so that's basically the gist of what this podcast is. Is that I've already went over all these kind of things. I've went over everything. Probably I've done videos on getting visas and work permits probably 3 or 4 or 5 times. I've done 300 videos on women and what not to do and what to do and why you're a dumbass for doing this. And there's nothing really left for me to do. I can answer questions, but you know, like one thing that I'm saying now is I'm not answering any more questions from dummies who can't figure out what to do for their women, with their women. Now, you know, they got their little female problems. I mean, you know, grow a pair of balls and figure it out yourself. It's not that fucking difficult. You know, if the woman's giving you fucking agita, it's time to give her the boot. I mean, you know, it's like one thing if she bitches once in a while and you go, eh, honey, come on, mellow out, and then that's it. It's another thing if she's constantly nagging you and she's a fucking Thai chick and you're going to put up with that bullshit. I mean, come on. There's no reason for it. So I've told myself that I'm going to stop doing those kind of videos completely. No more. However, for those guys who do just feel the need to get their questions answered. And hopefully the members, I used to have the forum up, and the forum used to be a place where people could ask me questions, but what I found is that a lot of guys who are members would just write me anyway. They wouldn't even post on the forum. So the forum was a waste of time, in my opinion. But if you're a member and you've got a question regarding your woman, you know, I'm not opposed to answering your question. It's what it is basically is that the YouTube tends to bring out the absolute chowderheads of all chowderheads. The dumbest of the dumb tend to ask me questions. The people who are members tend to ask fairly intelligent questions. Maybe that's the reason is because they can afford to pay $40 for the membership, and if they can afford $40, they're probably smart enough to understand that maybe I can help them. Whereas some of the guys on YouTube just ask questions that are fucking completely moronic because they're complete jackasses. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying that that's the truth, but who knows? I mean, it's just a thought. And so anyway, so that shit's going to stop on my YouTube channel. As far as the membership channel goes, I mean, I'll answer a good question once in a while. And if you got any questions, feel free to email me. Now, that's for members only. The people who are not members, you know what? You're going to get ignored and you're going to get that stupid auto-response email back that tells you it's a business. It ain't UNICEF. Okay, and I love that because, you know, my time is valuable. It's valuable because the clock is always ticking. Never forget that, grasshopper. The clock is always ticking. Every day you're getting a little bit older and your time is growing a little bit shorter. So you better use every fucking second for the proper to meet your goals. You better use it for whatever you want to get done. But me answering these dumbasses, I've already spent enough time. And at first it was fun and it was funny, and I thought, you know, okay, I'll help a guy out. Then it was kind of like, oh, I feel obligated, and now I don't feel obligated. I got a video going up shortly where my kids and I went to the snake farm in Bangkok. I thought it was pretty interesting, you know. I mean, little 8-minute video. And then I got another one, and this will be the last video having to do with men trying to find women. You know, this guy was asking about, is there any legitimate place to find a good woman? What the fuck is a legitimate place? Does that mean a non-whoring establishment? Of course there are. They're all over the fucking place. Which is what I told the guy. It's like, you know, it's not fucking rocket scientists, gentlemen. I mean, I hate to say this and put it this way and be so blunt, but it's not fucking rocket science. It's like, you know, if a chick likes you, she likes you. Listen, I've been with some women, and I thought to myself, holy shit, what is this chick with me for? I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe it. But then I give myself a little kick in the ass. I say, hey, don't put her on a pedestal. Just because she looks great doesn't mean that inside, you know, she's she may be beautiful on the inside, but maybe she doesn't have the brains or the security, the self-confidence or whatever it might be to realize that, you know, she's a freaking total package or whatever. And that, you know, you just feel like, you know, I mean, like I scratch my balls. You know, I got to say something. I watched a show the other day. It's the Rob Schneider, what's it called? I think it's called Real Rob. That's what it's called. But, you know, I got this Netflix. I've been watching it faithfully. You know, I like to be able to just punch in something that I want to watch, and I can watch it. Or I see something, I go, hey, that looks good. So, you know, listen, I don't particularly like Rob Schneider. I don't particularly like Adam Sandler. I prefer, like, David Spade. Or what was the guy that was the church lady used to be pretty funny, but I don't know. I never really saw him in anything, any kind of movie that I really liked. But I like David Spade and some of the stuff that he's done. And I admitted I liked, you know, Joe Dirt. I didn't like Joe Dirt 2 as much, but I liked Joe Dirt. I thought it was funny as hell. I mean, you know. but anyway, I saw this, you know, Rob Schneider is the guy who was Deuce Bigalow. If you've ever seen that movie. And he's just a little guy. I mean, you know, he's just a little. I hate to put it this way. He's a little twerpy guy. You know, he's a little tiny, tiny guy. You know, he's the kind of guy that maybe you'd get the shit kicked out of him in high school. But, you know, I mean, he's, by most standards, he's fairly successful. And, I mean, you know, he's not Laurence Olivier. He's not Leonardo DiCaprio. And he certainly ain't Brad Pitt. But, you know, he's fairly successful. He's like Artie Lang. If you know who Artie Lang is, he used to be the sidekick of Howard Stern, although, you know, he was a bit of a druggie. You know, but whatever. I mean, you know, hey, good for him. He got sober and I would say if you're going to try to classify him, he's a minor celebrity. I mean, you know, it's like some people know who he is. A lot of people know who he is. Well, a lot of people know who Rob Schneider is. Anyway, my point, not to take forever to fucking talk about this, but is that I turned on the show the other day. I was fucking laughing my ass off. It's like the very beginning of the show, and this is a spoiler, so, you know, if you plan on watching it, just understand that, you know, it's only a little one-minute clip, so it's not going to ruin the whole show. I've only watched two or three episodes. But I plan on watching another one or two tonight. So, but anyway, he's under the covers, and you can hear him with some chick. And actually, the chick, she's fucking hot, and that's his real wife. And she's a piece of ass, this chick. I mean, she's a good-looking woman. So, you know, he's doing something right. To snag her, he's doing something right. And she's a Spanish girl, and they're under the covers, and he says, you can hear him talking to her. Oh, honey, I want to touch your breasts. Or, please, let me touch your tits. And she's like, no, you can't touch my tits. He says, what do you mean I can't touch your tits? Come on, honey, I'm your husband. Please, you know, let me touch your... I want to touch your nipples, please. She says, no, bacteria. He says, what do you mean bacteria? My hands are clean. He goes, she says to him, you know, I think they sit up at this point. You scratch your balls, you pick your nose, you scratch your ass, something to that effect, to paraphrase. You scratch your balls, I know you pick your nose, you scratch your ass, and then you bring your hand over and put it on my breast and touch my nipples. And the baby, our baby, then has to breastfeed, and she comes over and sucks on my tit that you touched with your hands that have ball funk on them, or ass funk, whatever, and the baby can get sick from that. You can't touch my breasts. He's like, fuck, there's so many fucking rules now with this baby, and ah. And, you know, the whole show is kind of like that. And, I mean, you know, it's not a serious show. But if you like a little humor, it's a pretty fucking good show. I was really surprised because I thought, I'm going to watch, like, one episode of this or a half of this episode. And I'm going to be like, fuck, I can't stand this guy. But it's actually pretty funny. And I was surprised. And I'm going to continue to watch it. But, you know, that's kind of like me. It's like, hey, you know, I mean, I admit it. I'm a dude. I sweat. Scratch my ass. I mean, you know, I did a video a while back about ass sweat. I'm a fucking dude. 100% through and through. You know, if you got ass funk and you're talking about it with other people, or, you know, you don't have a problem talking about shitting yourself, which has happened to me on one occasion, you're a dude. You know, I mean, chicks don't usually talk about that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, maybe some of them. But generally, you know, it's the dudes who tend to be the apes, you know? So, anyway, we might want to check that out. I'm getting ready to watch Spectre. So, my kids are telling me it's time to plop my ass down in front of the TV and watch the new James Bond movie. I don't know how the hell we're going to watch that. Somehow they got it on their thumb drive. Maybe one of their little friends gave it to him or something. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but I'm going to watch the movie. So I guess that's all I got. Until next time, I am Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Choke D, that jerk and my...